Hi, this is Jessica McVeigh of Higginson Strategy. I'd like to welcome you to Higginson's first podcast episode. The purpose of this podcast is to speak to the leaders of organisations that are innovators in their respective fields. We hope to see how and why they do what they do, as well as recommendations for anyone hoping to do the same. Today, we have with us John Higginson, director of our very own Higginson Strategy. John has written for The Independent, Evening Standard, Daily Mirror, among others, and served as political editor for Metro. He reported in Hollywood as a showbiz news reporter, and over the past 4 years, he has helped a number of organisations achieve their communications goals. In 2017, John, along with his wife Clodagh, opened Higginson Strategy due to a desire to deliver communication services for organisations that do good. Since opening their doors, they have achieved incredible success for a range of organisations, from charities to government bodies to business. John, let's get right into it. When was the moment you knew that Higginson Strategy was something you wanted to establish?
Well, we had been I'd been working for different agencies for a few years after being a journalist. And one thing that I noticed is that there were some agencies that were really good strategically, and there were some good agencies that were really strong on the delivery tactical side. Had former journalists and could get things into papers, but there weren't any that I could see that were really good at both sides of things. So that was one aspect of the agency that we wanted to create, and that's why we've got our logo, Higginson Strategy Delivered, and do both aspects of that really well. The other thing that we really saw is that I wanted to create an agency that was as strong for organisations that do good as agencies are for more mainstream corporate clients. Because I felt that there were agencies out there that worked for organisations that do good, but they weren't always at the same level. There was a bit of this kind of thought that if you're doing good, then you're not up at that kind of level, and that's what we wanted to achieve.
Great. So this is also an incredibly exciting time for politics in the UK. As a former political correspondent, do you think that companies should make their political views well known?
Well, I think for one, companies aren't people, and a company can't have a political view. The MD or CEO of a company can have a political view, but companies are made up of lots of different people, and those people will all have various views. So I think it's very dangerous for people on behalf of a company to express an opinion. And clearly, one of the big issues of our time is Brexit. I think it's okay for MDs and CEOs to express their own personal opinion, but I think they need to make it quite clear that it's personal. Otherwise, they can alienate both potential clients and their own staff as well.
As someone with over 20 years in the communications field, you have amassed a large amount of information on what works and what doesn't. What would you say are bad recommendations that you hear in the field?
Something I've heard too much of over the years is overcomplicating things. So trying to make these complex plans where you have different messages for different media, and really it's far better to just have a really excellent message. And a really excellent message will be an excellent message to different stakeholders and will work in different media. It's just for social media you would simplify it a bit more, and for some of the more traditional media you might lengthen it. But essentially, far more important is to get a great message first time round.
Thank you. And speaking of recommendations along a similar vein, what recommendations would you give to a smart, driven university student that's about to enter the real world?
I think if a student gets a job in a communications agency, do all you can to learn from those around you, but also be aware that they're humans too. They are learning on the jobs as well, and believe in your own ability.
Great. And the last few years have clearly been a very busy time for you. Are there any habits or realizations that you have made that have made it easier for you?
One of the most important things I think I do now is not to put off hard decisions. I think it's a natural instinct for people to put the hard decisions off and just try to take the easy ones and to take the easy road. But actually, you can end up being a block if you don't take those hard decisions, and you can end up losing out on opportunities just because time beats you to it and the opportunity gets lost. So I always try to hit the balls out of my court as quickly as possible and not to be that block. And I think the higher up you get, the more important that is, because if there's people underneath you and you're part of a sign-off process, you need to be helping the flow rather than blocking it.
And what book would you say has had the most impact on your life?
Well, one of the biggest influences for me, if not the biggest influence, is George Orwell. And his, I read Animal Farm, I think, when I was doing my GCSEs at the age of 14 or 15. And that book just blew me away in terms of what it achieved and in terms of being a really interesting and exciting story anyway, but then having this clear message behind it, which was about the Russian Revolution and hiding that message, and how you could hide a message behind a story and get something out that you weren't allowed to talk about at that time. And it also told me about how it's deeply sad how the animals all thought they could overcome the humans, and then the pigs became even worse than the humans. And it kind of told me something about how you can't. You have to continually re-look at what you believe in and who you're following and who your leaders are, because things shift all the time. And having read that book, because it's so simple to get into and children can read it and children can enjoy it, but it's got all these deeper messages. I wanted to do that, and I then read 1984, and again, that was for me a hugely powerful book. And I think it's been hugely powerful for us in general, because it stopped a lot of the things happening that could have happened, and we've gone through the world seeing a lot of those things being realised, but hopefully not being realised as much and as badly as as in 1984. I wanted to write a book like that, but I couldn't. I didn't have that book in me. I haven't written a book yet, although I've written a play. But I saw that George Orwell was a journalist in his early career, and I thought, well, that's the path for me then. And I was able quite early as a teenager to decide I'm going to go down that path of being a journalist, and I followed that very early on and went straight onto the student newspaper when I got to university and spent 3 years on that, and then followed that path, which eventually has led me to where I am now.
Speaking of awakening moments, how has failure or a parent's failure sets you up for later success?
One huge failure that I had about 10 years ago that really killed me at the time was I was working as a journalist and had an idea that I thought would really make the world a better place. And that was to create a labelling system that could go onto products that would tell people how environmentally friendly the whole product was, so that it could go right on the front of a label of, say, Daz and Ariel, and you could pick between them. It would have a number system that would be really clear, and you could walk through your supermarket and you could count in the same way as you might count calories or anything else. But the idea, everything behind the idea, was massively complicated, but we But we branded it really well. It was called Green Index, and we went to a number of different supermarkets and producers and had those meetings, and we had scientific workings behind it, looking at comparing things such as travel distance in miles by plane or freight or by ship in comparison to different packaging that's used. But it didn't work. It didn't take off. And at the time, it was very hard for me. But now we have a client in a Plastic Planet who are at the moment creating a plastic-free mark. And it's been really useful having that background and having those failures that I had previously in helping to launch this mark.
And finally, if you could have a gigantic billboard that had anything written on it that reached millions or billions of people, what would it say and why?
It would say, "Just decide." And along the same reason as I gave earlier, I think people in general lose out on more opportunities from indecision than they lose out on making the wrong decision. I think generally 90% of the time, the decision that you'd make within 5 minutes will be the right decision. And indecision is a massive killer, so it's just decide.
Thanks so much, John. That was great. Well, that's it for this week's podcast. I hope you found it as interesting as I did. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Higginson's podcast. We'll be back soon with more thought-provoking and inspiring guests.